Welcome to the Reroll Gaming Podcast, where I, Tanner Prentice, guide five of my closest friends through an original adventure playing the tabletop role-playing game Pathfinder 2nd Edition. In the world of Rell, five strangers brought together a resistance under the shadow of the Black Reach Empire. Until everything changed. A villain and former lover named Hogoth fractured the planes of existence, ushering in an endless night and an era of undeath. All in the name of an undying dragon, Zarox. Now, the fate of Rell is left to these five adventurers.
My name is Ayla, and I play Bo Cantrell, a fallen Asimar and cleric, with Cosmios, the god of fate, as my deity.
Hi, my name is Zane, and I play Cinder Lafayette, the halfling investigator with a dicey past.
My name is Octavia, and I play Starlit Moonbow. Star, as she's better known by her companions, is on a mission to save her true love, Faya, from the Maiden of Spiders.
Hi, my name is Latara, and I play Kiaren Nimone the Sadistic, the Dolel champion of Emin, who yearns for that redemption that is so far out of her reach.
I'm Brendan Geyer.
And I am Frost, your new favorite kobold barbarian. Honor-bound to protect and serve Groth's party. And oath-bound to finish his mission.
These five heroes are the last best hope to save Rell. But can they overcome this darkness that spreads under the shattered sky? Find out now on the Reroll Gaming Podcast.
Tanner, my voice and my audio is going to suck until I cover the wall in all the walls in a
blood.
Jizz.
Oh, yeah.
Blood in my semen.
Jizz on blood. All of your walls until they don't bounce sound anymore.
Oh, my.
Stop. Please.
Reapply weekly for best results.
Welcome back to the Reroll Gaming Podcast, your number one podcast full of jizz and blood. Speaking of jizz and blood, I am sitting here enjoying one of my favorite disgusting drinks, a Bud Light Lime.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Sponsor us.
Glass bottles.
Yeah, they're fancy.
Yeah, where'd you get the jizz and blood edition? I've been looking all over.
Texas doesn't have that yet.
Bud Light Blum.
Blood what Light is, Cum.
This is actually probably my favorite beer, and it's so disgusting. I know it is, but it just like tickles my fancy.
I like Bud Light Limes too. They're good.
I feel like if you were like, if you said this in a therapy setting, that like Bud Light Lime is your favorite beer, there'd be like an eyebrow raise followed by like four or five paragraphs of like scribbling. Yeah.
Gay and a virgin. No.
Two dudes in white coats bust in immediately. Said the keyword.
Taken.
What are some of your guys' favorite disgusting or bizarre snacks or drinks?
Shit, that's a good question.
Okay, we got Zane. Just like shit.
I like sardines and saltines. That's a good snack to me.
Saltines?
Dude,
wait,
I don't...
sardines?
Wait,
sardines
saltines
and saltines?
Or like...
That's way too much salt. I mean, I don't disagree with the sardines. That's fine. I'm not saltines. A fan, but I understand why people are. But that's a lot of sodium.
Sardines and saltines.
I mean, you're not wrong.
That could be the name of like a D&D spinoff. That could be the name of this podcast. Sardines and saltines.
I don't know
if you'd want to put saltine in your title.
Yeah,
probably not sardines. It is either. Registered.
Well, sardines aren't drinks.
sardines aren't. No, but saltine.
Oh, is saltine one of those brand names?
Yeah. It's like Ziploc or Kleenex or whatever else.
Velcro.
Can you bleep all
these
words out?
I think they're called like table water crackers. Or No, that's something else.
No, that's a different
salt
brand.
Salt crackers? I don't know.
What do they call them? There's like another generic brand that I bought Zoe before, but I can't remember.
Like Zesta or something?
I mean, Trader Joe's is just like salty squares or something like that.
I don't know.
That's because Trader Joe's is stupid.
Amen.
I don't know.
Idiots.
I bet Tanner thinks that I eat weird stuff, but I don't really know what I eat. It's weird.
Fucking squished.
I mean, that's the thing about
bread.
Like. No, yeah, that's the thing about weird snacks is like a lot of people probably don't know that what they eat is fucking bullshit until somebody's like, "What are you doing with that?"
I mean, I have one that's like not. I don't eat it a whole lot, but it is good. It's like
Valentina hot sauce on, like, there's like these, have you ever had those chips that are, I think they're called like popped chips or something. They kind of are made out of like rice stuff, but there's like a kettle version of that. If you put some Cholula in that shit, shake it all up, it's really fucking good.
That sounds good.
I didn't even find that when I was stoned. That was at work. I was just like, hell yeah, this is the shit. And then everyone was like, why does it smell so good over here? And I was like, because I fucking put it all in this bag and shook it up.
I'm a genius. I'm a big proponent of mayo and french fries. If you don't think that that's okay, you've never tried it before.
Well, you have to mix the mayo.
Oh, yeah, right. Tanner, you don't like mayo. That's
the thing. You have to mix mayo with ketchup in that scenario.
And I'm not saying, like, you're not globbing fucking mayo on your fries, but you just do a little dip. There's, like, a little salty.
I feel like you might as well do, like, tartar sauce. That's better. That's,
mayo mixed with ketchup.
That's too intense.
It gets you secret sauce.
That's not bad, but just mayo?
Just mayo.
Also, mayo and ketchup looks a lot like Blum. Just saying.
Ketchup on broccoli, by the way.
Blum? Blood and cum?
Yeah. We pretty established that ketchup there. All
right.
Is that a pun? One more question, though. It's a Belgian
one. You guys thought my cheese on tortillas was weird.
That was just
cold cheese on tortillas.
Yeah, it's good.
Like, because then it's a quesadilla. Like, I never thought of eating a cold.
It's
like,
a raw quesadilla.
Oh, you don't melt the cheese? Okay, that is weird.
Just take some cut up cheese and put it inside the tortilla and eat it.
Okay, let me pose another weird one: ketchup and mac and cheese.
Yep,
that's not that bad.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
Well, no, I mean,
I don't do that. I know some people.
Okay, I don't. Pineapple that's on not pizza. Me.
That's the classic one.
I
you
would
guys
never.
Like pineapple on pizza.
Okay, I bet none pizza. Of you are gonna like this one. Pickled peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah, I've never tried it.
That before.
I
would try it.
I would
I've
try
never
it.
Done it though.
That sounds weird.
I would
shit,
try it,
I would try.
But I don't. I'm not sure.
Oysters and cottage cheese on crackers.
No, that sounds disgusting.
Never liked oysters.
I had Rocky Mountain oysters once. My dad tricked me.
You didn't know it, right?
Yeah. My dad tricked me. He was like, eat it.
I feel like that's like borderline sexual assault.
Did he eat it at all? Or did he actually just make you do it?
I think he ate it. This was also
sir,
at, like,
what did you
a
say the defendant did
like,
to you?
12.
Forcibly inserted bull testicles into my mouth.
I wouldn't
I mean,
say
put
forcibly,
it like that,
but definitely manipulated.
In a court.
Manipulated.
Yeah. Manipulated his bull testicles into my mouth. I tricked my cousin into eating a dog treat once by also eating the dog treat and telling him it was really good. So I don't know who. Like,
I don't think it's
there,
really a trick if that's and trick him into doing it.
I got
you
him,
gave him,
I
a
got
little
him
snacky
to eat
snack.
It. His suffering was the important part of that equation, and we accomplished that.
That sounds more like me
suffering.
And my cousin ate dog treats.
Yeah. The point was he didn't know it was a dog treat, and I did. So I don't know who's like actually the real victim there.
The victim of your own decisions.
Right.
All right. Well,
who's paying for a therapy? Come on.
Yeah, this does feel like a therapy session. Before we jump into this week's episode, I do want to talk a little bit about the rules and last time that we played. Last time we played, we had Bo using her 8th level feat.
It doesn't matter. Level... Everyone messed up all the time. It doesn't matter.
His, yeah, sorry. I thought you said jizz, so I ignored you.
Oh, okay.
his eighth level jizz.
Cleric feat, a restorative channel to burn one of his heals and cast, I believe you can cast like cleanse affliction, sound body, and clear mind. And because it was a 4th level spell, it was clear mind that was heightened to remove anything that was the controlled that had the controlled trait, which the possession spell does. So this is one long-winded way of saying I was right.
Oh, okay.
Ha ha. Cool. So we, despite our best efforts, we did that legally.
I mean, and I wanted to reiterate that too, just how cool that scene is in my brain of just like, obviously there's something fucked up here with like this weird, you know, priestess, like princess lady, whatever, being like, ooh, shake my hand. And then, like, Cinder was like, okay, I guess so. But then Bo's like, no, allow me. And he just comes in and, like, divine light just exploding out of your hand, basically.
Well, in this, you guys subtle. Did such a good job deceiving this creature and misleading it with your intentions that it was so desperate to just touch and possess one of you that it, what a bizarre sort of social exchange that it wouldn't even pick up on because it just wanted to hop to another host. Another thing that I was reading because of this creature, and since you critically succeeded on your recall knowledge about this creature last episode, Bo, this creature's ability to possess, since it was unable to possess, or rather, since it was exercised out of the being it was possessing, it can no longer use possession for 24 hours.
Ooh. Oh, damn.
So you just kind of eliminated
this thing.
Like, biggest... this is awkward. Like, now what?
So real quick, let's jump right on in. And to start this off, let's roll initiative, as well as Bo, you rolling 66 mental damage.
Benefits of having a cleric.
Yeah, truly, this is...
I don't get to flex that muscle very often because usually I fuck it up and don't end up doing anything.
Well, and that was also the interesting thing is this possession is a 7th level spell and your heal is a 4th level. So you had to critically succeed to counteract it, which you did. Counteracting...
So this makes up...
If you succeed on a counteract check, it has to be your level or one higher. If you critically succeed, it could be up to 3 levels higher. So you just very barely, with a crit success, were able to do this.
I feel like this is at least a good step in the right direction of making up for all the like times you got screwed by the dice when you're doing like a, you know,
a simple
like cleanse, a haunt or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like this, that was pretty badass.
Doing 66.
66 mental damage, but real quick, Frost, what is your initiative?
You know what? I'm going to use a reroll, and I'm going to tell you in just 1 second.
Okay.
I thought about it, and I'm glad I did, because now it's going to be a 31.
Nice.
31. Excellent. Bo, what is your initiative?
1 second. 25.
25, excellent. Kiaren.
20.
20. Starlet.
21.
Oops. 21. Sindar.
Also 20. Excellent. A lot of super high rolls for this. I think everybody's just so in awe at the majesty of Bo ripping this like spirit away from this person.
Well, and while Starlet, I believe you and Cinder did know that this creature was possessed, you did not know that you were going to rip a demon out of it.
I don't know if Cinder ever picked up on that. I think she picked up on like there was some weird shit definitely going on, but I don't think the possession thing had occurred to her.
Perhaps. Now, really quick to set the scene here, we have Glamera Goldbeard, the dwarf you were conversing with, who's visible right in front of Cinder, 10 feet. On the opposite, or right behind her, is this demon that got injected, this Invarak, or no, I'm sorry, this Invidak, Invidia, I have no idea how to, this shadow demon.
Nvidia.
This Nvidia.
This Nvidia graphics card.
Nvidia RTX 4090.
Get it out of here, please.
Oh, fuck. It's fire also, attack, it can wipe out all life on the earth.
There are also 4 other combatants of these dwarves that only Bo can see. However, Frost, I believe you know which space the one to the south is in, but he is still invisible.
Also, it looks like you did, but I just want to make sure that my order to have them step back 10 feet or whatever.
They did, yes. Applied. They okay, all cool. Stepped 10 feet back. And so, to start this off, it is Frost's turn.
All right. Trying to figure out how many actions this is. I think... So I'm going to pull out a couple of feats that all kind of play together here. One of which is going to be Quick Coercion, which gives me the ability to coerce creatures in one round of conversation instead of a minute.
Okay.
One of which is going to be Group Coercion, in which I compare my intimidation check to the will DC of 5 targets instead of 1.
Okay, great.
In fact, I can actually do 10 because I'm an expert. Another
so
is going to be
all of these. Okay, great.
Yeah, Lasting Coercion. So when I coerce somebody, they comply for up to a week. And Intimidating Glare, which gives it the... what is it? Visual feat? Yeah, gains the visual trait and loses the auditory one. So I'm going to basically just slam my axe into the ground, make as big of a... kind of, you know, should be enough they can vaguely feel it under their feet a little bit. And I'm going to hiss in a circle. Say, all who approach during this will meet their end tonight.
Nice.
Okay. Give me an intimidation check.
Are they turning on us, or are we all up against this demon here?
When we last left... At the end of the last episode, the demon did bark an order for all of them to tear you apart, essentially.
When it was still inside the
No,
body?
As it, after it got ripped out.
And they're just listening?
Nobody's done anything yet.
Yeah, nobody's
done
anything.
That's the very last thing that happened, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, just to double check, I don't know that you can use group coercion to demoralize everyone, if that's what you're trying to do.
I'm trying to coerce them to rethink whether they want to, or whether they even know what the fuck is going on. Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to prevent kind of an air of confidence. Just, like, we came here to do this.
The intimidating glare is specifically for demoralize.
But I will say you could... So here's your choice here, is you can coerce to try to get them to stay out of this combat or at least potentially wait, or you can try to frighten them with intimidating glare to give them the frightened condition. Up to you.
Okay.
But the frightening would be one target, not all of them.
Oh,
so
I
that's
see
just what I
saying.
Wanted to clarify is if he's trying to frighten, it would just be one target.
Because
group coercion is for coerce, not demoralize.
The coerce action. That makes sense.
Yeah, I guess Frost. Yeah, I'm gonna coerce instead of try to frighten.
Okay.
And go for the whole group, because as far as Frost is concerned, he doesn't even know if these guys knew that that fucking demon was in their boss.
Okay, great.
They might not.
Go ahead and give me an intimidation check.
All right. That's a 27.
27.
Yes.
Okay, 27. As of right now, since all of them are invisible, you do not know the effects of your coercion. Though you may be able to tell when it is Bo's turn. But now it is this demon's turn. Bo, why don't we start off by getting that 66 mental damage from you?
I'll just take the 66. That sounds good to me. No, just kidding. It was 22.
22. 66.
It's almost out.
But hey, that's really substantial. So as this thing is expelled out of its host, it grips its brain and lets out this reverberating shriek. And
also, just wanted to throw a plot twist in there where Bo's love language is physical touch, so that's why he had to go in for the hand.
Well, actually, you had to... I was looking at that, too. You had to do that because while the heal spell is distance, your cleanse affliction, sound body, and clear mind are all touch. So you had to physically touch.
Well,
so
that makes it seem like I really knew what I was doing. So
I gave you both a reroll, I think, at the end of last session. You very well deserved it.
I don't know if I marked it on my thing, but...
Let's do it.
Okay, well, then. That's right.
As this... I'm just kidding. As this demon... is beginning to panic and he's looking around, gripping its quasi-brain, and to describe this thing, it is a shadowy being with twisted gray horns and yellow glowing eyes, and it throws its hands forward and rips this line of a shadowy blast out. I need Cinder, Starlet, Kiaren, and Frost to make a will or reflex save. It is your choice.
Would that include the dwarf standing right in front of it?
Yes, it also is going to include the dwarf at the very end.
You said what kind of save?
reflex or will. It is entirely up to you.
I don't have to make one?
Everybody but Bo has to make one. Sorry. Bo just happens to be right outside the line. And it seems to have this wanton disregard for the well-being of these other dwarves.
You said reflex or will?
Reflex or will, it is your choice.
Okay. I have a feat that says if I roll a success on a reflex save, I get a critical success instead, just so you are aware of that.
Great, excellent. Okay, Starlet, what did you get?
31.
31. Okay, so that is a success, and as you were saying, since it is a reflex save, you treat that as a critical success and take no damage. Cinder, what did you get?
27.
27. That is a success. You will take half damage. Kiaran, what did you get?
I also got a 27.
That is a success. You will take half damage. Frast, what did you get?
That'll be a 17 for me.
That is a fail. However, it is not. It is one shy of a critical failure. So, very good. Okay. And the two dwarves that are hit by this also fail. The Glamera.
If anyone got the resilient trait, does that put it on their stuff automatically?
I don't know.
Does anyone else have resilient on your armor? You get plus one, I think, to saving throws.
It should apply if you have the rune equipped in the armor.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't, but yeah.
So both these dwarves take full 22 points of, we're going to say, cold damage. Frost, you take 22 points of cold damage as well.
The resistance.
Okay, yeah. What's your resistance?
I gotta dig that shit up. I was expecting like shadow damage. I wasn't even looking.
It got to choose, and it chose cold.
Okay. I don't actually know. It just says select resistance, and I have cold there.
Okay, the rest of you take 11 points of damage. I can find out real quick for you. Frost. You have resistance cold 4, so you will take 18 points of cold damage.
All right.
And for its last action, it's going to try to, let's see. It's going to fly back, just trying to create some distance, starting to panic. And Bo, it is now your turn. Bo, you can look around and see all these dwarves. And you see hesitation in their eyes. In fact, this one at the very south who just got hit by this wispy shadow beam is incredibly hurt. His torso seems to be causing him an agonizing pain. And it seems like they're sort of waiting to see how this plays out. What would you like to do?
I think that I want to maybe like recall knowledge to know the best way to defeat or cap, or like, I don't even know what I want to do, but yeah, to.
Okay. Give me a religion check.
Okay. And, I think I also want to, where, I don't know why I started so bad. Where is the one that got hurt?
The dwarf that got hurt?
Mm-hmm.
He is to the south. He is 45 feet away from you.
Okay, so I can't, like... I think I'm going to do this anyway. I think I'm going to cast heal. Move in within 30 feet and cast heal just to affirm that we are, at least in this moment, we are, like, on the same side.
Okay.
Kind of a gamble, but I like it.
Yeah, I do too. Give me your recall knowledge first.
Where did my dice roll go? 26.
Okay. You're looking for the best way to kill this thing, or defeat it, rather?
Yeah.
Okay, so it does have a bit of a bonus to saves against magic, and it is resistance. It has resistance to all damage except forced, ghost touch, or positive. It is weak to cold iron and good.
I think Bo would, if I can take a free action and just say weak to those things.
Okay, great.
Shout that out.
And then go ahead and hit me with a heal for that, the dwarf that got hit.
Is good damage the same as positive damage?
I don't know.
47.
No, I don't think so.
I think
spoken like a true DM.
Well, it's really just with the remastered stuff. I'm like, is that just a name change? Or?
I think actually the remastered it is now all under vitality. I think it used to be different, but now...
Like, it's not the same as, like, using the heal spell on undead, right? Like, that's
I think
not
it used to be different, but now it is not.
So, like, if Bo shouts that out, like, would we think healing the creature would damage it?
You said it's not undead, so...
It is not undead.
Or is that a different type of thing?
I think that would be a different type of thing. Okay. I think the good is something that's just kind of gone away with the remaster. This demon I'm using is not a remaster demon. I think he is in the remaster, but I think I'm using the leg. Whatever.
Okay. Just checking that my heel wouldn't do something there.
Probably not. Great. And you said 48 points of healing?
47. And so I moved, and then I cast heal, and I recalled knowledge, so I think that's the end of my turn.
Okay. Great. It is now Star's turn. Star, what would you like to do?
Let's see.
Beat it up.
Mm-hmm.
Bully it.
And so... Just to reiterate here, Glamera is looking with fiery intent at your party. You can't see the other dwarves, and then the shadow demon is roughly 45 feet away from you.
Okay. I'm gonna... Probably try to attack the demon with my short bow.
Okay, great. And you can... one thing I was realizing that mm-hmm. I don't know if it's come into play and we've missed it or not, but the short bow, when you crit, you do an extra d10 of damage.
Mm. Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
it cool. Is. It has the deadly trait. Mm.
Will you quickly repeat the weaknesses?
Cold iron, essentially.
Okay, let me just... What was I even doing? I don't know. Do I need to... Are we saying that I didn't have my stuff out, or can we say that I have my stuff out?
You can quick draw, so we can... Well, I guess you all had your weapons out, right? I think you did.
I was kind of thinking we were, because we were on edge there for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, I think we actually specifically said that we all had him drawn it at some point.
Cool. Then, yes, let's do an attack. Yay.
Okay, roll to hit. And 25? You would know 25 is a hit.
Okay.
And just looking at this creature, you can tell it's an incorporeal creature, so it will not take any precision damage.
Okay. Piercing so that it wouldn't take piercing
damage? No, it'll take piercing damage.
Just not precision, okay. Yeah. Let's see. That was... I know how to play this game.
That's good, because I don't.
Yeah. first one, I'm going to do 8 damage on that.
Okay, you shoot an arrow through it, and it wisps around it. Looks like not all of that damage has gone through.
Let's see. I'm going to do one more time. 23 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay. Going to take 10 more damage.
Okay. Again, not all of it goes through, but you do rip a piece of shadowy essence away from its form.
Sweet. And I'm going to try one more time for it.
Go for that crit.
15.
That is a miss, unfortunately.
All right.
K, Kiaran, it is now your turn, and Cinder, you are on deck.
Okay.
Kiaran is going to say to the dwarf in front of us, either help us or flee if you do not want to die by our blades as well, and try to intimidate.
Okay, I'm going to give you a plus two to this intimidation from the success of Fras intimidation earlier.
Hey, spoilers. I'm kidding. 27 is pretty.
Are you talking to...
So 26 on that.
And you're talking to all of the dwarves? One of the dwarves?
I mean, she can't see the other one, so she's directing it towards this one we've been talking to.
Okay. 26, and you're trying to coerce her?
Intimidate her.
Intimidate? Are you doing, like, intimidating, like you're trying to give her the frightened condition?
It's more just trying to get them to leave the battle.
Okay, so I would say that's probably...
Or to fight by our side, one of the two.
Probably a coerce. You're trying to get them to do something. And you said 26 was the total?
Yeah, 26.
Bum-ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. What am I doing? Where am I going? Okay.
If we're doing coerce, that'd be against Will DC.
Will DC, great.
Oh, you said plus two. Sorry, 27. Is, 27. No,
28. Okay. All right. She stumbles backwards a little bit and she says, you took my power away. And she looks at you with a mix of anger and fear. And you'll have to wait till her turn to see what she does.
Okay. And then I am going to turn to Frost and be like, Frost, I permit you to do your thing if you want. And then turn and run towards the creature.
Ah, the thing. The new thing.
The thing that you did.
The new thing. The fun. The new
toy. Don't know what it'd be called. Huh?
I'm gonna kiss him.
Okay, and I have 40 feet of movement, so I should be able to get right up to it. So I'm gonna run to the creature and attack.
Okay, roll to hit.
Sweet. That is a 17 plus 17 is a 34.
That is a critical hit.
Hell yeah.
Sweet. And I have Ghost Touch.
Okay, so you will bypass its resistance. Excellent.
Karen's in her element down here in the underneathy.
Yeah, seriously. You all kind of are. This is going quite well.
Oh, that's a shit roll, though. So... 4 plus 6 is 10, doubled, so 20.
Okay, so you take your... Is it Gwisarm?
Yeah.
Take your Gwisarm and split it in half, and it restitches with its shadowy essence, but it seems to go slow and struggle to retain its form. It is now... Is that your turn?
That's my turn, yeah.
It is now Cinder Lafayette's turn. Frast, you are on deck.
Okay. So I think reacting to this, Cinder hasn't seen, obviously, this dwarf yet, but is pretty, at least has an inkling that there's definitely probably somebody that was guarding the princess specifically. So I'm going to use Expeditious Inspection to seek and try and see if I can get an idea of where this one is.
Okay. Give me a perception check.
Okay. And I think the DC is lowered by 2 because of my keen eyes.
Great. And real quick, Kiaran, do you have quick coercion?
I do.
Okay, great.
Nice. I got a 36.
36. Okay. You... And you're seeking this invisible creature to the north?
Just trying to get an idea of, like, where it is.
You know exactly where it is. Directly okay. To the north, about 25 feet.
Remind me what her name was again.
Glamera Goldbeard.
Glamera. Latara, what's up?
Sorry, just about quick coercion. To be fair, it cannot be used in the midst of combat. But one would argue that we were in the middle of having a conversation with the dwarves, so
sure.
We're not quite in combat with them yet.
Sure.
I think Cinder would try to make a plea to this dwarf, just kind of gambling, and just say, "You see now that your princess is not herself. Help us free her." And they can do with that plea whatever they want, I guess, whether it's like restrain her or like help us fight or something.
Okay. And you have two more actions, I believe?
Yeah. Do you want me to do a diplomacy or anything like that?
Sure. If you do a diplomacy, this will be an action.
That's fine. That was the idea.
Actually, yeah. We'll go ahead. Do an intimidation, because I think that's kind of more so. Well, I guess you could do
it's
either.
Up to you.
I'll accept either.
Well, do you want me to roll intimidation, or because I already rolled my diplomacy? Do you want me to roll
just
intimidation?
Just do. We'll
instead?
Do diplomacy. Diplomacy is okay. Fine.
Nice. 32.
Okay. All right, you'll have to wait to see what they do.
Okay. And I did say, I don't think I said that I unequipped the crossbow, but I definitely have it like lowered in like in a non-threatening manner. Do I need to equip it?
No, that's fine.
Okay. So I think Cinder's then going to dash over yonder and take a shot. Can I hit the demon from here without having to bypass Kiaran?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay, cool. And yeah, I'm just going to shoot at it. Where is my weapon?
And again, you do know, since this is incorporeal, it will not take any precision damage.
Right. It's going to be 33.
That is a critical hit.
Oh, you hitch. Okay. Hot damn, 28 damage.
Do you have the ghost touch property rune or anything?
I do not, no.
Okay, so not quite all of that goes through, but you launch a crossbow bolt directly through its head, and it swirls around and reforms, but there is still a gaping hole where some of its essence has been completely removed.
That is my turn.
Okay. It is now these dwarves' turn.
Dwarves.
All of them begin to retreat. And Bo, you are really the only one who sees this. However, Star and Cinder, you both see the one to the north drop out of invisibility, approach Glamera, and grab hold of her, forcefully dragging her back. And Glamera is yelling, "No, no, no, my power!" And they spend their actions leaving. Frost.
One quick thing, too.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't know if I can do this as a free action. I want to pet Inara while I'm close enough to her. Or him, sorry.
Inara charges the demon and rips it in half.
One fell swoop.
I'll start paying this guy. Goddamn.
Frost, it is now your turn. There is only one combatant left. The demon.
This campaign just turns into us following Inara around, and like they're like the main character now.
Yep, Inara is the shattered
power
sky.
Yeah. God, that'd be great.
All right. I assume probably Frost gets the idea that these guys are leaving or fucking off because, you know, one came out of invisibility and started dragging the princess away.
So, you get the sense, yeah. And you can probably hear their metal boots like clanging and leaving in the distance, getting quieter and quieter.
Nice. Yeah, good work, team. Then Frost is going to enter a rage with one action. And he's going to use his sudden charge. Yeah, I believe it's sudden charge that allows him to move two times and attack within my remaining two actions.
Okay, great.
I'm gonna schwang on up here and schwangy-schwang my little axe. Right at this demon's fucking balls or cooch, whatever is applicable here.
I like the idea, too, the entire time that
my Jesse
doing this. Ale is just like, no, no,
No. Yeah, because
stop it.
Frost, drop it.
Drop the balls. Stop it.
Nine.
Oh, no. It's a 29.
That is a hit.
All right, then I'm gonna do. All right, what's this? Hold on, it just rolled an extra dice for me.
That's your cold, your frost rune.
Oh yes, that's right.
It should be a little blue dice.
Hell yeah! So I'm
actually, I don't know if that's accurate.
Do 25 damage, but I forgot to put my charge or my rage thing on, so it's actually gonna be 20. What did I say? 22.
25.
I said 25. Yeah.
Okay, it's gonna be 27 then in total.
Okay. You bring your axe down, and it connects with such force that the shadowy essence of this demon disperses, and it leaves behind this pile of ash that smells faintly like a rotting corpse.
No. God damn, we fucked this thing up.
You guys destroyed this encounter. Congratulations. And now you are standing here, again, overwhelmed by the darkness and emptiness of this plateau you're on.
Are our friends gone? Did they, like, retreat back into the darkness? Or are they still around?
They give me a perception check.
Okay.
Kiarn would also be looking to see if they are still a threat or whatnot.
Yeah, you can 30. Give me a perception check as well.
I got a sweet potato on your PlayStation.
God damn it.
I didn't know there was still goo in there. And it kind of splattered.
My PlayStation has peanut butter and sweet potato.
I didn't know you could get them flavored like that.
Yeah, new PS5 Pro available in peanut butter and sweet potato.
Yeah, the bitter flavor wasn't really popular.
I got a 30.
I only got 18.
Okay. Kieran, you're uncertain. They're invisible. They could be anywhere. And I think even, especially in Subterranea, you are so on edge that you assume the threats are still around. However, Cinder, you feel confident because you saw the look in those dwarves' eyes when they appeared and drug off. And listening for any movement, looking for any trace, your strength has scared them off. They will likely not be returning anytime soon.
Okay. Was Next. Anybody that wasn't me taking good notes on exactly what the princess said during that conversation? I don't know if any of it's true necessarily, but I think I gleaned some truths in the lies. Basically, yeah, I guess just how close
the only thing I wrote is that their fortress is where the ground falls and falls into darkness.
Okay, that was mostly my concern.
And
was that seemed
great,
like...
Kavaret, god of wealth.
Okay,
Kavurich, K V U I I no K V U R I C H
K V
K V U R I C H.
There's not an A between the K and the V.
Nope.
V.
Spelled kind of like Kavach from the Oblivion game.
Could Frost roll a survival to see if he can tell with his cold blood if there is any like inequity in the heat down here, like if there's a warmth coming from a particular direction?
Sure. Give me a survival.
Obviously, what I'm looking for is like geothermal bleed off from this fucking hole she was talking about, because he assumes there would be some. 27.
No heat radiating that you could tell. In fact, you can tell as you go deeper and deeper into Subterranea, it is just getting colder and colder.
Oh. That's unexpected.
Kiaren's gonna turn to the others and be like, "We should move from this spot and look for shelter. We don't want them knowing where we are."
I agree. I have a clarifying, not even really a question, more of a statement. So that Sackroth thing I did last episode, since it turns out that is just under common and I was mistaken, I'm just going to say that didn't happen.
Okay, that's fine.
Because it didn't really have an impact on one way or the other on how the situation shook out anyway.
All right. You guys wish to find some shelter?
Yes, but away from this spot.
Okay. Somebody roll me a survival.
Can I let others find shelter, but just try to do like survival to hide our tracks in case someone tried to find where we went from here?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think Frost actually is going to be just head on a swivel, like running circles around the party while they do whatever, just scanning for any further threats.
Okay. Real quick, Kieran, you are trained in survival? At least?
Yeah, I'm trained.
Okay, great. Okay, Frost, give me a perception. In fact, we're going to go back into exploration mode, so anything else anybody would like to do, let me know.
Nice. 27.
27. Kieran, what'd you get?
23.
Who is trying to find shelter?
Bo has pretty good survival skills.
Okay. Go ahead and roll me a survival. Star and Flint, are you guys doing anything?
Flint?
Flint? whatever.
Who's
your
Flint?
Character name
Flinder?
Is. Cinder. Flinder.
Flinder.
Sint.
Sint. Yeah, I mean, I think Cinder would be focused on trying to, like, pick up the tracks of what direction they went as we're traveling. But I know we're kind of moving away from them, too, so I don't know how realistic that is.
Okay, give me your survival.
Okay. Would it be survival, or would it be, like, can I do perception since it's more of, like, an investigative thing, or is it going to be survival if we're out in the wilderness?
I guess survival would be more like following tracks. You could do a perception for, like, noticing any. Maybe, you know, looking for a space where there's no tracks where they have been.
Right. Because I feel like following or finding tracks would be a part of, like, my investigative stuff. So survival makes sense, but it feels kind of weird that I'm not good at that, you know?
Yeah. But it you could be good at investigating things and just not good at tracking people through the wilderness.
Right. And I would say, yeah, like specifically if I was like, I want to track them and follow their trail through the wilderness, I think that would be survival.
Yeah. If you want to do perception just for noticing tracks, that's fine.
Okay. 31. 31. 32, actually.
And then, Bo, what'd you get for survival?
I haven't rolled.
And you got a 27, Frost, and a 23, Kieran?
Yes.
Yeah, got a 32.
Okay. And Star, did you want to do anything in this exploration?
I mean, maybe. Can I just like assist with perception or something?
Yeah, you can roll your own perception.
Scout with
too.
Me.
I'll just roll a perception, yeah.
Okay. Take us like opposite kind of, like, flanks of the group.
Yeah.
Great.
19.
Okay. Star and Frost, with your perceptive eyes, you do not perceive any threats coming towards your party for the rest of the evening. One thing I will say is, Frost, you begin to see this faint blue glow emanating from what seems to be some sort of field of foliage ahead. Bo, with a 32, you notice this glow as well, and you find a spot that is partially obscured by this cluster of glow shrooms, as well as a place that is slightly illuminated, and you get the sense that creatures that are used to the dark down here, I don't think she can hear me.
I can hear you.
Okay. You get the sense that creatures that are used to the dark down here probably are going to avoid a place like this, giving you an advantage for anybody approaching the camp.
Cool.
Would Kieran recognize the plant?
You do recognize the plants as glow shrooms, and this seems to be a cluster. It's a pretty common mushroom that has this illumination effect down here. And you got a 23 on perception, Kieran? Or survival, covering tracks?
I was covering tracks, yeah, 23.
You feel pretty confident that it will be difficult to trace your party to where you are. Meanwhile, Cinder, what'd you get? Perception 32?
Yeah, you follow the tracks of just perceiving. You watch the tracks go until they just kind of disappear into the darkness. But they're definitely heading way deeper into Subterranea. And then where you are, you don't see any tracks relating to the sort around where Bo is setting up camp.
So specifically, while I can have an eye on the tracks, do I notice anything about how they are? Like, obviously, the princess was kind of, like, struggling at first with the possession and stuff. But
why do you keep calling her a princess?
I thought you said she was a princess.
No.
Well, I'm going to keep calling her a princess. What did you call her? I mean, I know she's got a name that I keep forgetting, but you referred to her as, like, was it a priestess or something?
Oh, priestess.
She did have a Goldbeard name. Her last name
was Goldbeard. Yeah, said she was, like, some kind of... Yeah, okay.
Seems moral Goldbeard. Or at least important. I'm going to call everybody just is Goldbeard.
Just to avoid confusion.
Yeah. What are you going to call her?
Alan.
Alan, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, Tim, like, does it look like Alan was, like, fighting against... like these other dwarves, like the whole way. Does it look like
it seems kinda, like eventually she gave up and conceded to her fate?
Okay.
They probably also saw you slay the demon, so they were probably like, we should probably.
I was hoping that they would.
Mom said I had to be home before the streetlights, and they're like, on. Let's go.
That was kind of like our biggest thing.
Yeah, I'm just mostly trying to determine if like she was like basically like, yeah, I don't know. I guess you get what I'm going for. I want to see if, like, she was being taken against her will the entire time, or if, like, once we slayed that demon, if it seems like there's a connection to how the tracks change, or if they, like, stopped and rested for a moment.
It seems, I would say with such a high roll, it seems like she was not only aware of the possession, but maybe not enjoyed it, but reveled in the power it gave her.
She was intoxicated by it.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I was going to do a sense motive. Can you do, like, a sense motive in, like, retrospect?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you should be able to. Maybe, like, the DC is a little higher or something to recall stuff about it. But, let me do a... What is sense motive? Is that a...
Perception.
Just perception? Yeah, okay. 33.
And what exactly are you trying to ascertain?
Oh, just like, I mean, maybe just as an excuse to get more information about, like, how she felt about the possession or, like, the power she'd been given or whatever. If she was, like, totally complicit, if she was just kind of, like, you know, again, sort of, like, drunk on the power from it against her better judgment.
I think you would ascertain from what you learned about where their base of operations is and that they worship a demon, that this was something that was a willing host to a favorable parasite of sorts.
Okay, got it. Cool.
All right.
I was just going to say, as we're getting to the camp that Bo found, can Kiaran, like, kind of just do a circle check to make sure there's no super dangerous looking things around it?
Yeah, give me a nature check, actually.
That would be a 30.
Okay. Nice. You know far better than others that foliage in Subterranea can be some of the deadliest things. This spot seems as safe as it gets down here. However, you can see the field of glow shrooms ahead of you, mixed with an abundance of different assorted exotic fungus and plants from the Underdark. And you get the sense you're going to have to pass through that way. And dangers most certainly lie in there. But for the evening, you should be safe.
As we're kind of completing perimeter checks and getting settled down and into camp, Cinder does want to take a minute and talk to everybody.
Okay.
Don't know if anybody else has anything else they want to do before then.
Oh, Kiaran also would like to talk.
I know she would.
I was just going to say, when we do pick a spot, Thrast was going to see if he could just set up a little a little stand to get a few feet off the ground, get a little better sight line.
Sure, you have so give me a crafting check.
Okay. I'm untrained, but with a plus 9.
That's fine.
Okay. That's a 27. That's my third 27 of the night.
That's bizarre.
Lucky number.
It is.
You were able to create a pretty rudimentary setup with boulders and maybe a couple of these long stalks of glow shroom that would not only give you a height advantage, but also doesn't seem blatantly obvious from an outside source.
Nice.
Well, Bo, it seems you found a great spot for us. Don't let your guard down, but this is probably as best as we could get. And now that we have settled, Cinder, and when were you going to cue us into your ulterior motives?
Boom roasted.
Cinder cries. Cries. It's really awkward.
That's a pretty good tactic.
Maniacally.
Cuts her head off.
Yeah. I think Cinder, responding to this, takes a beat and kind of like looks around at everybody else too and just says, is my neighbor like breaking through my wall right now? What's happening?
Cinder, what are you talking about? You're losing your mind. We've been down here a day.
There are no walls.
I don't understand these people. Like the whole laundry list of like every trope you could imagine from like loud, obnoxious neighbors, like they check it. It's pretty impressive.
That's cool. Probably listening to you say that.
I know, that's why I'm saying it kind of quietly, because these walls also are not. I can't tell if it's the walls aren't very thick or like everybody's just really loud. It's probably a combination of the two. Cinder will take a minute to respond to that and just kind of look around at everybody and say, well, I admit I tend to play it a bit close to the chest in what my motivations are. I had not intended to withhold this information from you. Speaking frankly, I didn't expect to find them so quickly. But yes, I had been asked by a colleague of mine to investigate the Goldbeards while I am down here.
If we're speaking frankly, every word out of your mouth is like butter. You lie so smoothly. I don't know that we can trust you at all, and when you keep these things from us, it just makes me believe that more so.
Whether you choose to believe me or not, I would like to reiterate that I was planning on telling you eventually, when it became relevant. And if we're also getting everything out in the open, I made no attempts to hide that this arrangement between us is purely transactional. I have no choice but to trust you for the moment. Our goals align. I think that can be the end of the conversation for now.
So you say, we have no choice but to trust you.
You would be wise not to. You don't know me.
And you make no attempts to let us know you.
It's easier that way.
How do you know Flint?
We go back a ways.
How did you meet?
We met a long time ago in Grimholt. We were both scrounging for our next meal on the streets. He was good at the logistics of keeping us fed. I was good at other things, I suppose. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Does anyone else want to jump in?
What is Frost? What is Frost doing with his claws at the moment? Just confounding. Is this some type of sign language?
Other things.
He's implying Star's that he like, fucked.
Star's whispering about. Were they together? Isn't she like 10?
Flint is a very old friend of mine, and I would see him avoid harm whenever possible. I'd given up on looking for him a long time ago, but you're the first that I've heard of him, that he might still be out there.
And what caused you to part ways to start?
Did Flint ever speak of Stonewing? I don't think he did, to clarify.
I think you meant he mentioned it once when he was interrogating the orc.
Yeah, you were correct about that.
Yeah.
God damn, good memory.
Yeah.
He may have mentioned it. So you better speak truth, or we might know when you lie.
If he mentioned Stonewing, I imagine he probably also mentioned Davy Elrond.
He has said that name, yes.
There was an incident in Stonewing. Elrond and Oakenfist, and even myself to some extent, we all used to be thicker than thieves, as they say. That incident severed that connection. Davy betrayed him, and he has been obsessed with revenge ever since. I think that that obsession will be his end. I thought it was for some time. But if there's a chance of saving him from that, if there's a chance of getting my friend back. And she kind of her tone gets a little darker at this point. There's not a lot that I wouldn't do to see my friend safe.
I don't know if you want to do this between characters, but can I roll to see if I believe Cinder?
Sure.
While you're rolling that, Frost is just going to say, the old man want to speak to his milk cutter habit then. I can still smell it on you. How many years has it been?
Well, that actually wouldn't make sense because the
Milgar
got it.
Is this milk or cigar?
Yeah, if you smelled that, that would imply that she had met with him after we met Maximus.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's Maximus's legacy, is the Milgar.
I can smell it clean down here.
It's still on the rest of us is what you're smelling.
Yeah.
Maybe it is just, I have cancer now. Talk to him soon, Cinder.
The milk.
It's not
cancer.
The cigar, it's the milk. Yeah.
Garenal didn't roll well enough to know anything, so she's just going to glance towards Bo and Star and be like, do you guys have anything you want to say?
In all honesty, this is the work, the line of work that we're in, so to speak. You can't trust everyone all the time. I mean, I like Cinder for sure, but she's fairly new to our party. We can't expect her to share all of her secrets. Plus, she is one against the rest of us. Worst case scenario. I hate to say that, I don't like to underestimate people, but I think we're sitting in a pretty good spot for now.
I have no business and nothing to gain by making enemies out of people who call themselves friends to Flint. So, as long as that trajectory remains, you will have nothing to fear from me. We may not be friends, but we can be allies. And if we should ever need to lay all of our cards on the table yet again, you need only ask.
Well, all I can hope is that you will deign to include us if something might affect us sooner in the future.
I will make a more concerted effort to cue you into things like this in the future, should they arise. My focus up until this point has just been getting out of the city.
Bo will say, did you know about the demon?
She'll laugh and just say, I had no idea what to expect when we found the Goldbeards, but a demon wasn't one of them. And on that note, Thank you, Bo. I was about to make a very hasty decision, and it could have cost me dearly.
You're welcome.
But I have... Whoa. Yeah, sorry. What I have found to be true in my line of work is, trust works best when it is not treated as a feeling, but a set of choices we are presented with. And actions that we take. I believe we can work together.
Information is and always will be currency. But I have no reason to hide any of this from you. Now, if you don't mind, I'm exhausted.
Frast will take first watch.
As the others are getting ready for bed, Karen will go up to Frost as he's getting ready to watch and just say, I have found that after that close call with Bo against that Fire Lord, that maybe we need to use every advantage we have.
Ah, you speak of my, I don't know what to call it. But yes. I can touch you and make you a little angry.
Whatever it was that you did that made me a little stronger, I feel I must accept under one condition.
Any.
We must offer them a way out before we go that route. So let me try before using that.
I believe I understand.
I feel like that's interesting, too, because I feel like Frost is definitely more... Like, he's not the first to jump into a fight. If anything, he's, like, probably more, like, keen on avoiding a fight. Because, I mean, that's usually, like, his MO, right? Is he just kind of, like, he's a bodyguard. Like, he'll hang out until shit pops off, but then it's, like, then it's go time.
Yeah, fights are associated with paperwork in Frost's mind. He's still working through that a little bit. Every time we beat somebody, he's like, oh, fuck, now I gotta file a fucking report with death included. Come on.
My insurance rates are through the roof at this point. I don't think I can handle another hike in the premium.
Oh, I'm gonna have to stop being an independent security contractor and work for somebody.
Back to Walmart.
I know, welcome
don't
want to
deal with another lawsuit.
You.
Welcome to Walmart.
Well, I'm glad
you noticed
we...
that...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm glad we understand each other. You can wake me for next watch, and then she'll walk back.
I imagine as you say that, you notice that, like, Frost has set this thing up so that the perch where you sit or stand is actually just, like, a thick shroom stalk. And so he's, like, grabbing onto it like an iguana. And you're like, fuck, I don't know how I'm going to sit up there. I'm a pain in the ass. I have to think about balancing all night.
Imagine running across like a giant iguana with an axe the size of a Honda Civic.
Sitting up on a little perch, and the only reason he can stay up there is because he's got a tail to wrap around the base.
Who's taking third watch and fourth watch?
Bo will take next.
I'll take the last one.
Cinder needs her beauty sleep, I guess.
The night passes. Your first night in Subterranea. Yes, Lothar?
Just while I'm on watch, I will continue reading that journal.
Oh, yeah, right.
Great. Actually, everybody on watch, give me a perception check. Okay.
Natural 20 for 32.
Nice. 34. 20.
Nope.
Jesus.
25.
Okay. The night passes without events. And Kieran, I think maybe on your watch, You gaze out into this glow shroom field in front of you, knowing, based on previous survival checks, that past it is likely a cliffside. And suddenly it comes to you. You know exactly where you are. You are on the surface plateau, and I'm going to go ahead and reveal the entire map of Subterranea to you guys.
Ooh.
Find this map on our Discord. You are on the surface plateau.
Holy shit, this place is big.
Yeah.
A plateau, yes it is. Plateau far, far above the rest of Subterranea. You know you're going to have to scale down Widow's Cliff, which is this cliff face just south of the Grand Lift. To the left, or to the west rather, Wyvern Blood River runs, turns into a fall, and runs through the Spire Forest, which will be your next obstacle. Across the Spire Forest is the Deadlands, a barren, desolate place full of marauders and violence. Here is where you imagine Gverholt is, right next to the Void Pit. And past all this, on a plateau above the Wyvern Blood River, is Nykatov, the City of Spiders. And we'll continue our journey into Subterranea next week on the Reroll Gaming Podcast.
Hell yeah.
I like this. Everything feels different down here.
Yeah. Like, definitely the mood switch.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we've all done a pretty good job coming together and sort of like kind of setting the tone.
Well, it's nice too, because you guys were in Kravnok Mountains for so long and it was so snowy and mountainous that it was just kind of like dreary, and now this is different.
Even also dreary, but
yeah, very
different dreary.
Is it as cold as it was up there?
It's warmer than the mountains.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, definitely warmer than the mountains. Thank you for listening to the Reroll Podcast. The world of Rell and all characters within are copyright and fictitious. Any similarities to persons, living or dead, or actual events are purely coincidental. Reroll Gaming uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. Used under Paizo's community use policy, we are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Reroll Gaming is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com. Want to follow us on social media? Listen to another episode or send us hate mail? Check out our link tree for all our info. You can find that link in the episode description. Big thanks to Tabletop Audio for producing quality RPG music and ambiance that we could use in our games. The Reroll main theme and all character themes are copyright Zane Gehring. The Chronicles of Rell theme and frequency theme are copyright Tanner Prentice. Please consider donating to our Patreon or Ko-fi if you liked our content. We are hell-bent on making more, and with your support, we can make a lot more. And leave us a review wherever you heard this episode. New episodes every Monday at 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. See you then.